It's the Veterans Radio Hour. Brought to you by Dallas Corporation for all your corporate printing needs and by GIM Productions, creating internet solutions. Websites can do that. Now, stay tuned. The Veterans Radio Hour is next on the Veterans Radio Network.
Tango Charlie Bravo, you're a go for the Veterans Hour.
Welcome, one and all, to the Veterans Radio Hour. It's our tribute to all of those who served our great nation's armed forces, past and present, and their tremendous accounts of heroic duty and bravery. With your host, Brigadier General Dave Grange. And now, coming to you live from our Veterans Center studio, here is General Dave.
And good evening. General Dave cannot be with us tonight. He's on hiatus with CNN. We hope to have him back as soon as possible. Tonight would have been a great show for the General to be here because General Dave is definitely one of those people who is a veteran fighting for veterans. And that's what tonight's show is all about, veterans fighting for veterans. Our guests are going to include some very unique people tonight. We'll have on the phone Phil Cushman, founder of the Veterans for Due Process, who's a Vietnam Marine, past veteran. We'll also have Arthur Bernklau, the executive director of Veterans for Constitutional Law, past U.S. Army, Korea. We'll also then be joined by Steve Mungy, a representative from Colorado of the Veterans Voting Bloc. He was a U.S. Navy Vietnam medic who happened to be overexposed to Agent Orange, from what I understand. And what we'll be doing is learning a lot about what it is and how it is that veterans can be helped, or how it is that they've been hassled about getting help. And just before we do that, we'd like to create a dedication to tonight's show. Tonight's program is going to be dedicated to James Rhodes for the brave, magnificent battle that he has engaged in for decades, fighting for veterans. Jim Rhodes, who himself is 100% combat disabled, has been working for years in helping more veterans to understand who and what they need to do and see in order to move forward on getting their benefits and finding out about just what disabilities they've have occurred from serving our nation. Jim Rhodes is a crusading reporter out of Camp Hill, Alabama. He writes for the Tallapoosa Plain Talker and the Coosa County News. And he has been honored to be in the position of president of the Vietnam Combat Veterans Association.
You're listening to the Veterans Hour with retired Brigadier General Dave Grange. And now, back to the broadcast.
And as I mentioned, General Dave cannot be with us tonight, and I wish he could, because tonight is our inaugural night of the first time our Veterans Radio Hour is going on for 2 hours. That's right. Hopefully some of you have joined on, listened in last week. Some of you have gone to our website, veteransradiohour.com. Oh, you've heard on the Information Radio Network that we are running 2 hours from 8 to 10 Central Standard Time. And that will take place from now on. So we're looking forward to all of you being here with us as we continue the Veterans Radio Hour. And Dave Grange, the General, will be back as soon as he can, and he'll be in and out whenever he can, and we'll be looking forward to that. So just as I start off the show tonight, I think I'm going to start with Philip Cushman. Phil, you there with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
Good, and I think you're calling in from Oregon somewhere.
Right, Portland, Oregon.
Well, good. We're glad to have you here. From what I understand, the Veterans Voting Bloc is an organization that was put together primarily to help us recognize...
This is Veterans for Due Process.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Veterans for Due Process. Fill me in a little bit more about what the Veterans for Due Process actually is about in Oregon, or is it nationwide?
It's nationwide. Back in about 1982, I became very concerned, along with a lot of other veterans, about the fact that veterans who were injured in wars defending America could have come back here and attempt to obtain medical care and disability compensation from the United States Veterans Administration often run into serious problems. They find their claims are decided without regard to the facts and the law. They're denied benefits they're entitled to by law, and so they want to do something about it. Ultimately, they find out that they're denied access to every United States District Court in America. They have no right to appeal to the courts that they fought to keep open for everybody. They're also denied the right and freedom to spend their own money to hire lawyers to protect their legal rights at the VA regional offices around the country. Myself and many other people, especially back in the early days, it was United States Senator Gary Hart, we believe that veterans should have the same rights that every other citizen has in terms of making the government accountable, in terms of citizens being able to appeal to the courts and have the right, the freedom, and right to hire lawyers to protect us. So Veterans Due Process was created in order to try to create that situation. And early on, back in about 1982, I contacted all of the Vietnam veterans organizations around the country, told them that what we needed to do is have a meeting in the United States Capitol in order to focus attention on the fact that the common denominator of all of our problems, whether it be PTSD or Agent Orange or combat injuries or other military injuries, was the fact that we simply had no access to the American system of justice that we were injured defending. So Gary Hart put a bill together to correct that injustice and restore to veterans due process of law.
And what year was that?
1982.
82.
And the Vietnam Veterans of America, the Brotherhood of Vietnam Veterans, Veterans for Due Process, and other organizations, we all met in the United States Capitol on November 11, 1982, and we adopted a resolution calling for the restoration of the rights of veterans to due process of law. And that was ultimately presented to the President of the United States and to the United States Congress.
Very good. We're going to be coming back to that in just a moment and be bringing out the veterans voting block to help us understand some of these representatives, such as Gary Hart in the past, who have worked with us. In the meantime, I need to let everyone know this is our 27th program, our first to now be aired for 2 hours. I want to thank military.com for being a good part of us. Remember, they salute all of the people who are veterans, especially those who have answered the call to our nation's service for many years. Also, the 1350 Foundation, and you could find them at .org, honoring the rights and the responsibilities of citizenship. We have a new supporter. I want to welcome Sherman Consulting, a media strategist, Rudy Papanowin. I'm glad he's here with us. We'll be involved with them over the next few months as we continue working on. Next week's program will be known as the Warbird Restoration and Aviation Archaeology. We're going to try to find out just how World War II planes are located, how they're restored, and then they're able to fly once again. When we come back, we'll be joined by Steve Mungie and Art Burnclaw talking more about veterans fighting for veterans.
Stay tuned. The Veterans Radio Show will continue on the Veterans Radio Network.
You're listening to the Veterans Radio Hour. We are here every week at this time, broadcasting live from Veterans Center Studios in Downers Grove, Illinois. As our host tonight mentioned, the program is now being on the air, both on the internet and live being broadcast over the Information Radio Network for 2 hours instead of the 1 hour that we had been doing up to this point. So if you have enjoyed the one-hour show, I think you're going to enjoy the two-hour show twice as much. We have a wonderful program tonight, very interesting and I might say disturbing information being given to us on the subject of veterans fighting for veterans. We have four distinguished guests, Steve Robinson, the Executive Director of National Gulf War Resource Center, Arthur Burnclaw, Executive Director of Veterans for Constitutional Law, Steve Mungie, representative of the Veterans Voting Bloc, and also Philip Cushman, founder of Veterans for Due Process. These are all organizations dedicated to helping veterans to receive the benefits that are due them, and which in many cases, as is being expressed to us, have a very difficult time in getting what is due to them. So stay tuned with us. We will be back on the air very shortly. And thank you for listening to the Veterans Radio Hour.
Welcome back. The Veterans Radio Show now continues on the Veterans Radio Network.
And we'll be saluting our military hero of valor. That is Dr. Mary Edwards Walker of the Civil War Union Army. She was the first American woman to be a military doctor, a prisoner of war, a Union spy, and a crusader against tobacco and alcohol, and the only woman who is recognized as a Medal of Honor recipient. Walker's citation reads in part that she devoted herself with much patriotic zeal to the sick and wounded soldiers, both in the field and hospitals, to the detriment of her own health. She has also endured hardships as a prisoner of war from 4 months in a southern prison while acting as the surgeon. The War Department, stating in 1916, began to review all previous Medal of Honor awards with the intent of undoing decades of abuse, they claimed. At that time, for instance, the medal could be freely copied and sold and legally worn by anyone. Past awards would be rescinded and future ones would be rejected if supporting evidence didn't clearly, convincingly show combat valor above and beyond the call of duty. Mary Walker and nearly 1,000 past recipients found their medals revoked in reform. That's 1,000 past recipients found them revoked. The Army demanded Walker and the others return their medals. She refused and wore her medal until her death at age 87 in 1919. It was late in the 1960s when Ann Walker, Mary's great-grandniece, lost an intensive lobbying and investigation campaign to restore her aunt's medal. In 1974, letters from the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee read in part, "It's clear your great-grand-aunt was not only courageous during the term she served as a contract doctor in the Union Army, but also as an outspoken proponent of feminine rights. Both as a doctor and a feminist, she was much ahead of her time, truly a woman of honor," for the Medal of Honor recipient.
You're tuned to the Veterans Radio Hour with retired General Dave Grange, coming to you from the Veterans Center studio. And now, back to the show.
Again, this is Kenny DeCamp. Dave Grange couldn't be with us tonight. I'm following up on Veterans Fighting for Veterans. We're going to have some very unique men with us tonight. I have Steve Mungy in from Colorado. You there with us, Steve?
Yes, I am.
I know you're a past Navy Vietnam medic.
Yes.
And I also have heard that you've been exposed to Agent Orange.
Oh, yeah. I got very much inundated. I guess that's a good word to use. It was really weird because the chief kept saying, "Don't worry about it. It won't hurt you. If it bothers you, just jump in the river and wash it off."
Well, back then, I'm sure that's all they believed it was.
Well, that's true. You know, I mean, you look up in the sky and you see two planes flying along the banks of the river above your head, and all of a sudden you're getting soaked down and stink to high heaven, and what in the world was it?
Now, you're with the Veterans Voting Bloc. Phil Cushman, a moment ago in Oregon, with Veterans for Due Process, had mentioned to us in regards to Gary Hart being one of the senators who helped work for veterans back then. Tell us what the Voting Bloc is doing today for us.
Okay, the Voting Bloc is a movement that just got started probably, not quite a year ago. It was founded by a gentleman named Phil Jones out of San Antonio, Texas. Phil Jones is an attorney, and basically what he was wanting to do is create a voice for veterans at the polls where it makes a difference. And this past election really proved to all of us that the veterans truly are their own worst enemy. And the reason I say that is because in Colorado alone, an estimated 7% of all registered voters voted.
7%?
Yes. And what does that tell you then about the 250,000 veterans we've got here in the state? Basically, it tells us that the vets would rather sit on their VFW bar stool and complain.
Well, what percentage of that 7 were veterans, do you know?
We really don't know, to be honest with you.
And that's because there's no true polling being done on veterans. It's part of the voting bloc thinking that this is one of the angles and that they could start relating to?
Well, one of the thoughts that came to mind, and I really think it's a good idea, is that the vets voting bloc is going to evolve. They're going to try to make it into a full-fledged veterans political party. And now, whether or not this will be accomplished before the 2004 elections, nobody knows. But the thought is being circulated right now, and ideas as far as president candidates go, they've mentioned Ron Paul many times. Now, whether this will ever be accomplished, we don't know.
And who is Ron Paul?
Ron Paul is a congressman out of Texas who is one of the very few people who is willing to stand up and tell Mr. Bush he's wrong.
Uh-huh. How does one get involved with the Veterans Voting Bloc, then?
Okay, what I would recommend is the following. Any person listening, if you have access to a computer, go to www.thetexasfirm, that's all one word, .net. Once you get there, hit the icon that says Vets Voting Bloc, and it'll take you directly to the program. It'll show you exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it. And another way to reach it is through www.firebase.net.
And Firebase meaning a term from the war?
Yes. The Firebase Network is an international veterans network where you can speak your mind and let the world know your thoughts. And believe it or not, the Firebase has veterans from about 15 different countries, all basically complaining about the same problems. Their government does not care.
Hey, Tom, what's a Firebase? I got Tom sitting here at the table with me tonight.
Well, a Firebase is a location where organizations set up in the front area to conduct combat operations. Generally, it was associated in Vietnam, anyway, with an artillery unit, let's say, that would set up a perimeter guarded by infantry and then conduct fire support from that location. Kind of interesting because, of course, Osama calls his organization the base, too.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Steve, how many people are right now lined up with the veterans voting bloc?
I'll be perfectly honest with you. We don't have an honest, outright listing. We have representatives in all 50 states, and they're trying to build a little bit at a time. I would guesstimate, and this is just a guess, that we have somewhere in the neighborhood of about 10,000 people involved right now.
Oh, that's a very low number.
Yes, it is.
I'm amazed because I had heard at one time in the 100,000s.
Uh-huh.
But if it's that small, I did also try to contact the on the site the Illinois rep here, and I've gotten a word back from him at all. I would have had him sitting here with us too, but it disappointed me because. When I read about the Veterans Voting Bloc, it sounds and seems like it's the perfect opportunity for veterans to get involved. With 25.6 million veterans, they say right now, of just the United States veterans. A couple weeks ago, we had a show about our Philippine veterans who fought real hard for us and then had all their veteran benefits and rights taken away from them in 1946, and some of them are fighting to restore that now. This seems like the Veterans Voting Bloc would be the ideal lobbying bloc for us to be involved with.
I agree it would be. Right now, it's pretty new. It's, like I said, it's less than a year old. And we're trying to get the word out to as many people as we can to get this thing moving.
Well, I know I'm going to be bringing on Art Bernklau in a few moments, and I'm sure he's going to help us to understand just why it's not getting out there. What's the hang-up? Who's fighting it? You could probably give me a little thumbnail of who is stopping, or are there organizations or people hoping that this does not come up?
I really don't know, to be honest with you. I personally made contact with all six of our congressmen in Colorado, and absolutely none of them would help us.
So I take it none of your are you okay there?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry about that.
Congressman, I would take it then, are part of our majority of congressional representatives that are non-veterans.
There's not a veteran one in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Not one.
Well, I think that's what we're going to have to start working for. And if the Veterans Voting Bloc and Veterans for Due Process and our Veterans for Constitutional Law start plugging in all together and we start getting the word out more and more, there will be the opportunity for all veterans to be fighting for veterans, for their families, as well as we're just fighting for war, it seems.
Uh-huh.
So, okay. I know that in our situation today, we have the Veterans for Constitutional Law who's been working with us. Art, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Good. We're going to be talking a lot more to you. We're going to have to be taking a break in about a minute. But just a thumbnail, Veterans for Constitutional Law started when?
Veterans for Constitutional Law started about 6 years ago. I did all my training. The two people who trained me were Veterans Due Process. One gentleman you had on before, Phil Cushman and Sidney Cooper. And you might say these two people are my gurus. I learned everything I know from Mr. Cushman and Mr. Cooper.
And where's Mr. Cooper today?
Mr. Cooper is in New York, in Manhattan. Fortunately, he's incapacitated, had a bad stroke, but he's still carrying on as best he can from his own apartment.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be taking a break right now, coming back dealing with Veterans for Constitutional Law, Art Burnclaw, who's a former U.S. Army good guy out of Korea, Steve Mungy, representative of the Veterans Voting Bloc in Colorado, U.S. Navy Vietnam medic, and Phil Cushman, founder of the Veterans for Due Process, a Vietnam Marine. We've got them all with us. The only thing we're lacking is a little Air Force, but next week we're going to have the Warbirds here.
In just a moment, the Veterans Radio Show will assemble in a military fashion right after this quick reload on the Veterans Radio Network.
You're listening to the Veterans Radio Hour. This is a two-hour show. We have moved to a two-hour format from our previous one-hour format. We're heard over the internet in numerous countries around the world, as well as on the Information Radio Network. And we're happy to have everyone listening in tonight. Tonight's program is entitled Veterans Fighting for Veterans. And we have four very interesting and distinguished guests, all of whom are in charge of organizations dedicated to helping veterans receive the benefits that they deserve. The common goal, I would say, among all of these groups. There are some 25.6 million veterans, we've been told, and that comprises a very significant voting bloc. And if that voting bloc can be harnessed for the purpose of helping themselves, I think it can have a major difference. So we encourage everyone to listen to what is being said tonight and to get in touch with the organizations that are being part of the program this evening, and we will have the websites and other information as the show goes on. So stay with us here on the Veterans Radio Hour. I wanted to mention that our host, General Dave, is on temporary hiatus with CNN, Kenny DeCamp, senior producer, is sitting in tonight as host, and we hope to have General Dave back as soon as it's possible for him to be here. The Veterans Radio Hour is a live program. It's not recorded. It's entirely spontaneous, and you can get in touch with us on the website. If you have a question or comment, please send us an email, or if you want to call in at 866-928-2329, we encourage you to give us a call at that number, 866-928-2329, if you have a question or comment. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor of the Veterans Radio Hour, why don't you call our business office at 800-591-0020. That's 800-591-0020. This is the Veterans Radio Hour.
The Veterans Radio Show is clear for a landing. Let's resume our broadcast from the Veterans Center Studio.
The Veterans Radio Hour salutes the active service person of the week, made possible through the support of Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer. As they say, PB Army, ASAP. Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer, available at your local retail outlet.
Our active duty service person. I've got to take my hat off to Specialist Jonathan Conan, a paratrooper in Bagram Valley, northwest of Kandahar Air Base, taking care of Operation Viper. He's with A Company, 2nd Battalion, 504th Parachute Infantry Regiment.
You're listening to the Veterans Hour with retired Brigadier General Dave Grange. And now, back to the broadcast.
And this is Kenny DeCamp sitting in for our Brigadier General Dave. He's out on his TDY with good old CNN tonight. Something just came across the wire to us through our chat. If you're on veteransradiohour.com, you go down to our discussion board and sign in and send us any questions you want. We got one from Army 16161. It's an email that asks, he's just talked to a battalion commander's wife of a deployed soldier. She's trying to help other wives and spouses to get along without, I guess, their people being with them. She said that all the spouses in the battalion continue to have bake sales in order to pay for soldiers whose families are facing a lot of difficulties. It's hard for me to believe at this time that not only the veterans having problems, but current soldiers who are, of course, I believe it's after 90 days, are automatically a veteran. Art, you're there with us with the Veterans for Constitutional Law. Tell us a little bit about why do you think people are both veterans, military active, and veterans that are retired 20 years or better, as well as just the veterans who did serve some time, whether it was 2 years in a draft of Vietnam or 3 years as enlisted or in years in between. What's going on?
Okay. We have a very predatory Veterans Administration. Predatory in the respect that we have a group here who is supposed to administer the laws of United States Code Title 38 for veterans, and the only thing they can think of is paying themselves bonuses to deny claims. And they have the utmost extreme cooperation from their friends and cohorts in Congress and the National Veterans Service Organization. And let's make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about this. We as veterans, we're at war. Of course, it's worse if we're disabled and at the mercy of a very hostile and thieving Veterans Administration. However, it really doesn't make any difference if we're disabled or not. The VA's agenda is to deny benefits claims any way that they can, regardless of any evidence or even laws in the veterans' favor.
And you're telling me for a fact that you know that bonuses are given to individuals in the VA?
Oh, absolutely. There's about 105 different incentive programs for people in the VA to make themselves money. You're, by denying claims.
So if I'm an attorney working, how many attorneys, by the way, work for the VA?
Over 1,200. And the fact is, and I'm going to get into this in this dissertation that I'm going to present now to you. I'm going to get into this fact in a minute. There's over 1,200 working there, and yet a veteran is not allowed to have an attorney until he gets a final decision from the Board of Veterans Appeals, and that's not going to take him any less than 7 years.
And he is then going to get an attorney from the VA?
No. He's entitled to get his own attorney. The VA tries to push him over to the service organizations, the friendly service organizations like the American Legion, the DAV, the VFW. But if you let me go through with this dissertation, your eyes are going to open up and everything is going to be as clear as a bell.
Well, we've got a good hour to go, so we're going to get to some of this. What I guess I want to clarify a little bit more is in these bonuses. If I'm an attorney working for the VA and I'm able to stall, delay, or even get a benefit rejected, I more than likely am going to get a bonus?
Oh, you almost certainly will get a bonus. You'll get a bonus, you'll get a promotion, you'll get vacations, you'll get all kinds of freebies as long as you can screw the veteran out of his benefits.
Well, it's pretty hard for me to believe. Tom?
much of the government system is set up the same way. Financial incentives, for instance, are paid to people that work for the Internal Revenue Service.
That's right.
If they can find people and collect money, some of that can go to them under certain programs. Other agencies, such as DOD, have incentives where they actually, and they're more positive too, but they grant cash benefits for civilians who develop good ideas that save money. So in other words, there's an example of how money saved can be a good thing, but in the situation where you've got personnel involved, it's generally in withdrawing money that people get a bonus, so there's their incentive, and so they're really not working for the veterans. They may be working, depending on the person, against the veterans.
Now, let me cite a law for you.
You've got 1 minute.
I beg your pardon?
We've got 1 minute to go before a commercial break.
Okay, let me cite a law for you. The Senior Executive Bonus Act, Section 3131, provides bonuses of up to $30,000 plus your salary to all those who can do things the government's way. In other words, if you find against the veteran and you favor the government in your decisions, you will make bonuses up to $30,000 on top of your salary. That's the Senior Executive Bonus Act.
Well, I'll tell you, Art, it's hard for me to believe, but I know it's got to be true because of everything that's going on. We've got to break away for a quick commercial and station ID, and when we come back, we'll be joined again by Phil Cushman for Veterans for Due Process. And this is the VeteransRadioHour.com.
Stay tuned. The Veterans Radio Show will continue on the Veterans Radio Network.
You're listening to the Veterans Radio Hour. We're here every Sunday evening, starting this week for 2 hours from 8 p.m. Central Standard Time until 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And those of us who hear me now are listening on the Internet, but of course we're heard on many radio stations around the country as part of the Information Radio Network. I wanted to acknowledge that this evening we have, as a guest in the studio again, Carla Norowski, who was here recently. Carla is the founder of the 1350 Foundation, which is a celebration of America and the American flag, dedicated to purposeful citizenship. If you'd like to learn more about the 1350 Foundation, go to their website at www.1350foundation, that's 1350foundation.org, 1350foundation.org. You can call them at 773-477-4036, that's 773-477-4036. They're sponsoring an essay contest for high school juniors. The deadline for applications is March 14th. If you'd like information about that, check out the website. It's the Patriot Prize Essay Contest. The winner will receive a $1,000 savings bond, a flag that was flown over the U.S. Capitol, and a plaque. So check out the website there. This is an excellent organization and a very, very worthy purpose. The Veterans Radio Hour, as I mentioned, is now a two-hour program, so stay with us. And we have a very, I would say, really one of our most controversial shows this evening. The subject is Veterans Fighting for Veterans. We have four distinguished guests: Steve Robinson, Executive Director of National Gulf War Resource Center; Arthur Burnclough; Steve Mungie, representative of the Veterans Voting Bloc; and Philip Cushman, founder of Veterans for Due Process. Some of the information that they're telling us is very distressing when you think that veterans who have given so much to the country are being denied what they deserve. So stay with us for more of this on the Veterans Radio Hour.
The best in military talk radio now continues with the Veterans Radio Show.
And welcome back to the Veterans Radio Hour. We're glad you're with us. I got a quick press release I'm going to read until we come back with both Art Burnclough and Steve Mungie for a moment. Veterans Fighting for Veterans. This is a press release that states there are approximately 39,000 American veterans living today who were held captive as prisoners of war. That's 39,000. Only about one-third are receiving disability compensation. And now the Department of Veterans Affairs wants to locate all these POWs who have not been in contact with them in recent years to discuss potential benefits for their eligibility. Changes in the laws over the last 20 years have made it much easier to qualify for these potential benefits. So if you're a veteran or you know an ex-prisoner of war not receiving compensation, they want you to contact the nearest VA regional and speak to the POW coordinator. Okay, Art, did you hear that? And Art, I want you to tell me what you think of the Veterans Affairs now asking for ex-POWs to contact them because they want to give them some form of compensation.
They don't want to give them a form of compensation. They got some kind of ulterior motive. I haven't figured out what it is. But believe me, they don't want to give them compensation. Because any compensation they give is going to come out of the pockets of the good old boys down there. So they don't want to give them compensation. I doubt anything that they say. In fact, you know, Mr. Principi, when he was confronted with the Dirty Dozen that got sent to prison in Atlanta for using the claim numbers of dead veterans and doing their families out of $11.2 million, Mr. Principi said, we can take comfort in the fact that no veteran lost any of his benefits. Now, no veteran did lose any of his benefits. They're all dead, but their families lost $11.2 million, and it might be many years before they recover that money, if at all.
Now, Art, when did this take place?
The trial took place December the 4th. Only two newspapers in the entire country covered the issue.
December the 4th, 2002?
2002. Only the Atlanta Constitution and the Chattanooga Times covered this. The other newspapers were approached by the VA's own press corps. The VA has a press corps consisting of 30 members in every regional office and about 120 in the central. And the news has been kept out of the newspapers, and that's their sole purpose, the VA's press corps, is to keep any bad news about the VA out of the press.
Phil Cushman, are you there with us?
Pardon me?
Did you just hear that?
Yeah, I did.
And you're aware of this as well?
Yeah, I am.
And what kind of due process has been able to take place with this?
Well, I'll tell you, when it comes to the United States Veterans Administration, absolutely nothing is as it seems. It is a paper charade. It's an appearance of legitimacy. Art Bernclough, a few minutes ago, made reference to the Senior Executive Service Act.
Yes.
It provides for the cash bonuses. Now, that is under Title V, United States Code, Section 3131. And an excellent example of that, perhaps one of the best, was the fact that before the United States District Court for the District of Columbia recently, two Board of Veterans Appeals attorneys were caught forging veterans records, district records, and they were tried before that court for having done that. When it went into the sentencing phase of that trial, the judge looked down at both of the VA attorneys and simply asked them the question, why? Why did you do this to these veterans? And they both responded by saying that they hoped that by so doing, by forging the records and destroying the records, that they might thereby even bigger bonuses for themselves.
Yeah, Phil, we're losing you. If you can get on a hard line, it's going to be better. All right, I got to ask you a quick question.
What he said is they hope that would trigger themselves bigger bonuses for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
At least they were honest. That's the good thing about kidding? That.
Yeah.
My landline was just knocked out about 3 minutes ago. I heard a funny sound I never heard before, and now it's totally dead. So I'm trying to make it with you guys on the cell phone. But could I interject something here?
Okay.
Any veterans or any concerned citizens that wanted to kind of learn the background of all of this would be, I'd like to invite them to go send Veterans for Due Process an email, and we would be delighted to send to them a couple of different documents. Some of them are fairly lengthy, but they will give them the story that probably a lot of people don't want them to get about what's really going on here.
Oh, yes.
Well, they want to know here, we got Little John on our chat room coming in saying, can someone who's been wronged by the VA sue them?
Absolutely not. You could file a claim before a VA regional office. It'll be heard there. It'll go to the Board of Veterans Appeals. It ultimately will go to the Court of Veterans Appeals. But all of that is meaningless. When I was part of what created the United States Court of Veterans Appeals back in 1988, Veterans for Due Process was. Unfortunately, we were fighting hard to give veterans access to United States district courts and the right and the freedom to hire attorneys to protect their legal rights before the VA regional offices. The United States Congress would not allow that. They created a special court, a non-judicial branch court, and where the judges are not life tenured and where they're beholden to the government for their money. And it is not the due process that we hope to achieve. And not only that, but a total prohibition was created concerning attorneys, so that now veterans cannot even spend their own money to hire attorneys to protect their legal rights, even in the face of illegal VA policies, which control operations at the VA now.
Gotcha. When we come back, Steve Mungie with the Veterans Voting Bloc is going to help us understand a little bit more. We've got to get some good representation. Be back after this commercial, VeteransRadioHour.com.
Don't eject just yet. The Veterans Radio Show will reassemble after a short reconnoiter on the Veterans Radio Network.
You're listening to the Veterans Radio Hour, a two-hour program broadcast every Sunday evening between 8 and 10 p.m. Central Standard Time here on the Information Radio Network as well as on the Internet. I wanted to mention that all of our programs are archived for your convenience in case you have missed any of our past shows, and if you would like to see what you miss, or if you want to hear another program once again, it's right there on the website. So be sure to take advantage of that. This week's program will be continuously broadcast on a 24-hour basis over the website, probably starting, I would say, Tuesday. So if there's anyone out there who wants to hear the show again, or if you have people that you would like to inform about the program, which I think is unusually interesting this evening, you can let them know that they can hear it anytime at any hour of the day or night right here on the website. The Veterans Radio Hour is hosted by Brigadier General retired Dave Grange, who is on hiatus this evening with CNN. We hope to have him back as soon as it's possible. The program is a unique theme-based talk show by, for, and about veterans. You can join General Dave each week here for a lively and informative roundtable discussion featuring distinguished military and civilian guests. Numerous topics, everything from historical events to contemporary issues of vital interest to veterans, such as this evening's program, and also of interest to active service personnel. So stay with us here on the Information Radio Network and on the Internet for the Veterans Radio Show. We'll be back on the air shortly. Thank you.
Welcome back. The Veterans Radio Show now continues on the Veterans Radio Network.
And this is the Veterans Radio Hour. We're glad you're here with us. I want to thank my friends Bill and Jean Clare for being devoted listeners to us down in Venice Beach, California. People who are also very interested in veterans and wanting to help veterans. That's Bill and Jean Clare. Now, I think I've got Steve Mungie there on the line. He's our Colorado representative of the Veterans Voting Bloc. Steve, you've been listening to some of this stuff going on?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, help me out. How are we going to work it and make it better for our representatives to help veterans?
Well, the biggest thing we've got to do more than anything is, first of all, get the veterans themselves involved. We're trying our best to reach out to all 27 million veterans that are alive and voting today. We want to get them to the polls. We want them to make their voices known. And the only way we can do this is a concerted effort among all the vet groups to get the word out.
Okay, now recently we had a great show on all based on homeless veterans.
Right.
And it was estimated by the American Legion magazine, who did the article, that there are more than 500,000, 500,000 more veterans who are homeless or really without any kind of benefits at all in their life. What are any of the veterans group doing? Art mentioned that these veterans organizations are somehow linked to the VA. Maybe, Art, you want to explain that. I've got a couple minutes before we break away, and then we're going to come back for a whole nother hour of this show. But, Art, help me on that.
I'm going to wait until you give me a chance to do a presentation here. I would really like to get about 10 minutes.
Okay, when we come back on the...
to stand and do a presentation here.
Gotcha. When we come
otherwise,
back...
I'll just be a listener.
Okay, when you come back... we've got a nice nine-minute segment right off the top of the hour, and we'll throw it right on to you, but it really is something that I know a lot of listeners and people in general want to understand and know if there are really veterans organizations trying to help the veterans who are both homeless.
There are a few, but not too many. Mm-hmm. But you better change that 500,000 to 740,000.
It's now that high.
Oh, yeah.
And some of these, you know, statistics that we get, how are we finding out about these? That was sort of unclear when we had our show. For instance, the 740, do you know where this statistic came from?
The statistic came from people who are doing research about this. I'd say most of the homeless seem to be Vietnam veterans, but not necessarily Vietnam. You've got a lot of World War II, a lot of Korea. There's a lot of homeless veterans in this country. I don't know where they compile their figures, but that's the latest figure I've got is 740 plus, 740,000 plus.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm always...
hasn't been 500,000 for a couple of years.
Uh-huh, well... I know this article was just last month, and those were the guys trying to tell us about it. And they were saying that they, I believe it's $2 billion Bush signed a bill in order to try to help the veterans that are homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And but I've heard that this money hasn't come down the pike yet. is that what you're aware of, too?
Very much so.
Uh-huh.
Very much so.
Well,
it's smoke and mirrors. That's how our government treats the veterans of this country.
Yep.
Smoke and mirrors.
Well, we're going to get into that all within the next hour. You know, it's something my friend Tom's here, who is one of our real special guests that comes around every now and then.
Oh, good.
And Tom's going to do something as we go out for this first top of the hour on the Veterans Radio Hour to help everybody understand exactly what it means to be an American and also fight for veterans.
I was downtown in Chicago today at the Old Town School of Folk Music, right there where Steve Goodman used to hang out. And Steve wrote a great song a few years ago, and I'm going to do it here. I'm supposed to do a patriotic song, but what's good about America? Lots of things. Moms, railroads, apple pie. Good morning, America. How are you? Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors and 25 sacks of mail. All along the southbound Odyssey, the train pulls out of Kankakee, rolls along past the houses, farms and fields, passing towns that have no names, and the freight yards full of old black men and the graveyards of the rusted automobile. Singing, good morning, America, how are you? Don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans, and I'll be gone a long, long time when the day is done. Dealing card games with the old men in the club car. It's a penny a point, ain't no one keeping score. Pass the paper bag that holds that bottle. You can feel the wheels grumbling beneath the floor. And the sons of Pullman porters and the sons of engineers ride their father's magic carpet made of steel. Mothers with their babes asleep go rocking to that gentle beat, and the rhythm of the rails is all they feel.
In just a moment, the Veterans Radio Show will assemble in a military fashion right after this quick reload on the Veterans Radio Network.